Officially, the economy continues to recover from the effects of the Great Recession. The downturn started 7 years ago, but plenty of workers and families are still feeling the effects. And some areas are feeling the effects more acutely than others. It's been mentioned in the campaign for governor that Oregon tends to lag behind the rest of the country in economic recovery periods and actually goes ahead in unemployment during recessions as well. A recent report indicates that Medford trails other metro areas in the state of Oregon, so the effects of the recession linger longer in the Rogue Valley. Why? Let's talk to the author of the report that brought this all to light. Tim Dewey is an economist at the University of Oregon and a frequent commentator and observer of the economy in Oregon, and he's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show today.
Give us an idea, if you would, of the scope of the regional economic reports that you're part of.
So I do a number of different reports. I do a statewide report every month, and then I do these regional reports every month. And the goal with the regional reports is to try to track how the various major metro areas in Oregon are growing in comparison to their past history. So each one, each area has its own, you know, average growth rate or average pace of activity since the late 90s when most of my data is able to start. And we're trying to see if, you know, if these areas have recovered to their average pace or above average pace, or they're still somewhat below what we've seen in the past.
And so you must pull in a whole lot of data to be able to pull these reports together.
Right. We use we lean heavily on the employment data that the Oregon Department of Labor publishes. We also lean heavily on other sources of data according to areas. So we also have building permits for these areas. We also, for some of these areas like Medford, we have airline activity, air passenger activity. Some areas we also have a better idea of tourism through the room taxes. So we try to get as many indicators as we can for each area, but we can't sort of get all of the same ones for all areas, unfortunately.
Yeah, that makes a certain amount of sense when you think about the fact there's no airport for Salem, so you can't pull ticket information for them, for example.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. So since Portland has some of the most data, and then also Bend and Eugene, and then Salem and Medford has been a little bit more challenging, but we've been still able to track the area.
So, Tim, do you end up with a report that is just for the state of Oregon generally, too? I mean, based upon the performance in metro areas, does it include any rural areas as well?
No. So there we really only have good data on, and when I say good data, I also mean high-frequency data with a longer time series, a longer horizon of actual data. We only really have that for the major metro areas. As you move to smaller areas, the data becomes much more spotty, and it becomes a little bit more problematic. There's a lot of more non-seasonal variation in the data in small areas, too, and that creates a little bit of a it creates some challenging issues in interpreting what's going on.
So when you look around the state of Oregon, who's doing well, I guess? We'll start there at the top end.
Well, everyone's doing better than they were at the worst part of the recession, so that's good. The region that most quickly climbed out of the recession and started producing growth rates that were above normal consistently was the Portland area. That's our largest metro area, and you know, that's also a trend that we've seen nationwide, where larger metro areas have been outperforming smaller metro areas in this recovery. So that fits with the Oregon data. Next, a little bit lagging that was the Eugene-Springfield area, which has now been posting somewhat above average growth rates as well for the last 18 months. And I think we've been benefited by a couple of factors, in particular the expansion of the university during the recession, I think, added a lot of extra consumers, a lot of extra workers in the economy that helped support the regional economy during the recession. After that, areas that Bend is about growing at average pace, took a little while to get there. Salem is now growing about average pace. Also, that was a little bit more of a protracted downturn because of the dependence of that region on the state government and the financial problems in the state government during the recession and the immediate aftermath. And then the area that has been not rebounding in the state quite as quickly is the Rogue Valley area, mostly the Medford area.
And is that restricted to just Jackson County, or does it extend it to Josephine County, taking Grants Pass as well?
Most of that is just is Jackson County. Is the I'm sorry, yeah, yes, and that's where the center of the data falls in.
And so, does Ashland come in there as well?
I think so. I'll have to check. If it's in a county, then yes.
All right. Well, the reason I ask is because since you got some tourism dollars accounted for in here, right, for hotel motel stuff, Ashland is a bit of a magnet.
Right,
for the
and
region.
Actually, that is one area certainly where we have seen substantial growth in activity in the tourism and hospitality component of employment is clearly recovering a little bit quicker than other sectors of the economy, and that's something we see statewide as well.
We're talking to Tim Dewey, economist at the University of Oregon, about the regional economic reports that show that Medford is not doing as well as some of the other metro areas in the state of Oregon when it comes to rebounding from the recession. Your thoughts and comments are welcome on the exchange. Call us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. This is not a consistent further from Portland kind of effect, because Salem's kind of down there too. So
no.
It's not just the proximity to the metro area that makes a difference.
No, that's true. What we've seen is every area in Oregon, for the most part, has had some kind of differential impact as a result of the recession and the subsequent aftermath. Areas that were more heavily dependent upon housing dynamics were more impacted by the recession and have taken a longer time to recover. And that has centrally been the issue in Central Oregon and then Southern Oregon. These are areas that we traditionally associated with a large influx of new residents, oftentimes retirees, and they were able to come to Oregon in many cases because they had equity from the sale of their home in other states, such as California. When the housing bubble burst, a lot of those dynamics just became upended and haven't completely returned as of yet. And I think that's some of what's going on in the Medford area and in the Bend area still as well. They're compared to how quickly they're growing, you know, during the bubble and even before the bubble, they're still growing, I would say, at a slower pace of activity.
So a lot of the growth in those two areas, Bend and Medford, were related to people moving into the area, buying homes, but not necessarily needing jobs to go with this new location.
Right, right. And that probably was, there was probably also some people that were looking for work too, but didn't necessarily need to find a high-paying job because they were under the impression, for example, that their house would continue to appreciate and some of that would do their retirement savings for them, for example. As we've come out of the housing bubble, I think we've seen a couple of trends emerge. And some of these trends, I think, were evident prior to the housing bubble. And again, that has to do with the size of the metro area. Is we, you know, it's, at some point, there was some theory that technology would allow, you know, people to spread out away from metro areas, large metro areas. And it's turned out that patterns of technology and demographic changes actually made metro areas much more attractive for job growth and economic opportunity. And we've seen really an enhancement of a lot of metro areas, and those areas grow very quickly, and the smaller areas not getting the same boost. And so I think some of those dynamics were actually hidden during the housing bubble because, again, if you didn't have to worry so much about your job because you thought housing prices would compensate for that, your options were probably greater.
Well, so I'm curious about this this effect of people thinking that metro areas might be de-emphasized, and apparently the opposite is happening. Now, I know you're not a sociologist, you're an economist, but, I mean, does this mean the whole idea of telecommuting is perhaps not growing as fast as we've been led to believe?
I think some of that is true. That the whole idea, especially telecommuting from long distances, it seems to be that technology has, the way we've developed technology, particularly in some of the computer design work, has been more valuable when we have a higher agglomerations of workers and firms in the same location. And we've seen that pattern before in industries. That's not really new. I think that some people, because of the nature of technologies and the internet, it would actually not work that way because you didn't necessarily need to be next door to or you're sitting next to a colleague to do work. But apparently there's still a lot of benefits from being close to your workers and close to other firms, and that has fostered large clusters in certain areas such as California or Seattle and increasingly in Portland of these workers. And that's a trend that I don't know if was necessarily anticipated at the dawn of the internet.
Tim Dewey, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, economist at the University of Oregon. We're talking about differences in growth and recovery from the recession in the various metro areas in the state of Oregon. Medford ends up low on that list. Join us on the Exchange with your questions and comments, 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or jx@jeffnet.org. I want to come back to the beginning because you talked about starting to collect a lot of your data in the late 90s, and I know one of the first things I would be thinking about when looking at what has changed over the course of quite a few years in a metro area would be industries that might have grown or shrunken. I would think that your data then would be somewhat insulated from the decline of the timber industry by the fact it starts in the late 90s.
Right, and so that does in fact compensate for some of that decline, although even within that manufacturing activity in wood products has generally been in decline. Now, in the Medford area, it's a little bit different of a situation. Manufacturing there has actually come back a little bit stronger than we've seen in some other parts of the state and other parts of the country, interestingly. And so that has actually been something that's been supportive of the regional economy, that and tourism and travel, leisure and hospitality as well.
You said manufacturing has come back?
Yes, there's actually been a pretty solid gain in manufacturing jobs in the Medford region.
And what kinds of jobs are we talking about? What things are being manufactured?
Well, you see a wide range of it. Some of it is wood products. Some we've seen an increase in some mill activity. You have light manufacturing, such as the Brahma motorcycles. So you see a wide variety of different manufacturers actually expanding in the region. You know, we're not quite up to the peak number of jobs we had prior to the recession. We're still a little short of that in the area, but you're still doing better in the Medford area for manufacturing than you have been in some other parts of the state, and well, virtually all parts of the state.
So is Medford essentially not yet back to where it was pre-recession, Tim?
No, right. Especially if you just look at either number of jobs, the unemployment rate, building permits, those kinds of indicators. No, Medford has not recovered. Now, for many of those indicators, only Portland has fully recovered all the jobs lost during the recession. And building permits in most areas still remain low. That has been a lasting effect of the housing bubble through much of the state and much of the country.
When you look at jobs replaced in a place like Portland, as you're just talking about, I mean, you're looking at just a job is a job. I mean, is there any factoring of weight for this is a job that paid as well as the one that was lost 7 years ago or anything like that?
No, I don't do that in these numbers. It's a little bit more complicated. What we do know, and Josh Linger at the Office of Economic Analysis has done some work with this and actually presented some of this in Medford, has been that we've seen a pattern of wage polarization, job polarization in this recovery, where we have strong gains in the high-end categories and stronger gains in the low-end categories, and then not as much in the middle-wage jobs. And that's not an Oregon-specific problem. That's a national. I think it's more of a national trend where we're seeing that dispersion in wage growth.
So did the middle wage jobs just not come back? Have they been shipped somewhere else? Or are they just fewer people doing them?
Some of them have been. It's a number of factors, some of which is either international competition or technological change, reducing some of those jobs in manufacturing, and some of that increasingly, for example, technological change, increasingly moving into other fields, such as, you know, going into the future, bookkeeping, accounting, for example. Some of that is related to the decline in construction jobs. Many of those were middle-income jobs and were hit heavily during the recession. Some of that is attributable, I think, to government employment, a number of middle-wage jobs, for example, teachers, were cut during the recession, have not rebounded very quickly. So I think we've seen a number of different factors at play to explain that. But, you know, looking forward, the concern is that technology is going to start, further eroding some of the growth in middle-wage jobs as well.
Because the job you used to do can be done by an app or at least some kind of automation.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. And so the challenge there is to get people's skills up so that if they were able to transition out of middle-wage jobs, you know, ideally be transitioning up to higher-wage jobs. Unfortunately, that's easier to say than do. Just because transitioning mid-career is more of a challenge for many workers than we would like it to be.
We have an email here for you, Tim, from Mike in Medford. He says, the problem with Medford's economy has been the same for years. We rely much too heavily on real estate and health care. A good portion of people make their money by renting or swapping houses. That's not a healthy economy. Instead of diversifying the local economy and bringing in new ideas, the local politicians' only solution is to cut down more trees. This is the only idea that they brought up as a solution and the only one for decades. Let's get grants and fund new technical and college programs. Let's move the economy away from the hostile lumber market and bring stability to the region by diversifying industry. From Mike in Medford.
Right. And there has been, and we started this conversation with the issue of a heavy reliance on in-migrants in order to support housing activity, and that being a basis of growth. And there's also the issue of, again, some logging activities that people have pushed, but, and that's certainly part of Oregon's heritage, but it's certainly also something that's not generating the growth and is not likely to generate as much growth going forward as we have seen in the past. And so, the challenge then is if some of these migratory dynamics have changed, and we don't know when they're going to reemerge, and it's been challenging to expand that logging activity, and it's not clear that's going to generate as many jobs or as much growth as the region would like, you know, then what else is there? What's next? And it's going to have to be something more along the lines increasing the technical skills of the workforce, and hopefully that being sufficient to bring in more higher-end, maybe small manufacturers that can take advantage of that and maybe expand even into more professional business services. You know, those things are easy to say, and they're not always easy to implement, though.
Let's take a call here. We have Ann and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tim Dewey, economist at the University of Oregon.
Yes, thank you. Well, given the amount of jobs lost through automation, the amount of jobs lost through the exporting of jobs to low-wage countries, and given the amount of immigration that we have, my take is that we're never going to ever see anything like full employment again unless we do something like reduce the hours from 40 hours without overtime to something like 30 hours and spread the work around rather than having some people with a really good income and other people with nothing. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Ann. Appreciate it. This is something John Kenneth Galbraith talked about a century ago, Tim.
Right. So I get wary about that argument that we can easily sort of spread the work around to more people, because it makes it sound as if there's some fixed amount of work that needs to be done, whereas the amount of work that needs to be done is more variable than that. And we could I think we'd be better off letting people work as much as they really wanted to, and if they worked as much as they wanted to, that would help supply the demand that would justify additional production. So I'm a little bit wary of arguments that assume that there's some, again, fixed quantity of labor necessary. Now, as far as issues of full employment, we have been moving closer to what we think of as natural rates of employment since the recovery began. In particular, again, large metro areas have seen much greater gains in jobs across the board, both at high end and low end, but also middle income jobs than we've seen in smaller areas. So some of it's not necessarily an issue of an issue of trying to spread the work out. It's an issue of trying to bring workers to where the jobs are. And some of that is then, again, these issues of concentrating those jobs in larger areas.
And as we've just been talking about, the Medford area seems to lag the other metro areas in the state of Oregon in recovery from the recession, behind Portland, Eugene, Bend, and Salem. There's Medford at number 5, which is not necessarily the best place to be, but at least we got some analysis and understand it better. Tim Dewey is the economist at the University of Oregon who puts these reports together. Tim, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Good to have you.